York sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Oh, can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Well, welcome along to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, bringing you all the latest sporting action. Well, especially looking at a huge day tomorrow for Cork Camogie. But first, we are going to the football. It's starting to come back in England. As earlier today, Man City won the Community Shield, but it's well underway in Ireland. And it feels certainly even more back in Cork, as last night we had the return of both Rory Keating and Sean Maguire to Turner's Cross. Huge expectation coming into that Athlone game, but of course it ended in a nil-all draw. After the game, however, our very own Rory O'Hagan caught up with Shawnee on his return home. Enjoy.
Shawnee, what was that reception like when you came onto the pitch?
Yeah, no, it was really special. I mean, the reaction the last couple of days has probably meant the world. It's meant the world to me. You know, it's been probably in the works for the kind of last couple of weeks, and you know, with the little lads just being born a couple of months ago, I kind of gave myself a little bit of time to just gather a few things. But I suppose when I signed, it felt like it was a no-brainer to come back. And I've always wanted to come back where I have a lot more to give.
Yeah.
I suppose a lot of players coming back to the League of Ireland, you know, mid-30s, you know, maybe a year left in them. But I'm only 30, I feel like, well, hopefully that my best years in a Cork jersey are still to come. And where the club are at now in the first division, hopefully in the Premier Division next year, that's where you want to build on and get back to the good times. I know it might feel like it was a long time ago, but it's only been, you know, six, seven years.
Yeah.
It has, and I feel like the club is going in the right direction in terms of that. Bringing myself and Keaton, and there's really good young talent there around us. But yeah, tonight was, I mean, like, you're playing second in the league, it's, you know, it wasn't the most entertaining game, but it's another clean sheet, and I think the boys said in dressing there 18 clean sheets for them, so it's brilliant, like, and I mean, like, it gears up for the big one next week, I suppose.
Tim said to me there that you were kind of, I suppose, discussing things, and you said that you would only come back to Cork City if you were coming back, so
yeah.
Just shows you the link that you have with the club.
Yeah, like, I think people don't realise what the club actually means to me. I know I'm a Kilkenny man and stuff. I only was there for about a year, at Cork for about a year and a half, but I've a deeper connection to the club than what, I suppose, well, everyone probably knows now, but what everyone realises. And it's shown, even when I was across water for the last 7 years, it hurt me to see the club, you know, bounce in between the divisions and not be at the top where it should be, because I feel like when this place is packed and it's rocking, there's no better place to be in the country. You've seen that when we're here winning leagues and cups, and I feel next year when we do get into the Premier Division, it'll be wide open. You see it this year, like, I know Derry, Shells, Rovers, there's not much in it, and even in the 10 teams in the league, you see each team beating each other, so that's what you want to be gearing up for.
You can hear the crowd still outside like an hour after the game is finished. Yeah, it just shows you like the support that's here at Turner's Cross. But like when you came on, the roar,
yeah,
that was just, it was incredible. It was like, yeah, we'd scored.
Yeah, no, it was good. I suppose you kind of blocked that noise out in the background, because I was more focused on just getting on, making an impact. But I suppose I probably need a little bit more time to kind of bed into it. But that was my first 10-15 minutes since April, and yeah. I know I've been training away at the PFA and stuff, but I was travelling over the last couple of days, and I feel like a good week's training now next week, and I'll be ready to rock next week, next Friday, because that's one I've been, since I signed the other day, where I've been looking at going, yeah, we can give Derry a good game and hopefully progress.
And as a player then, the thoughts of linking up the likes of Keating, Milne Sullivan on the wings, Jack Doherty?
Yeah, Jack, I played with Jack going back when we were 17, 18 at Waterford, and still good friends with Jack, and then obviously Keith signing there. We didn't get to play with each other tonight, but hopefully in the future we'll find that connection. And yeah, Young Cottle, he was telling me he's played a good few games the last kind of week or so, but he's some of the players seeing clips of him on the club socials and stuff, so he's going to have a cracking future. But yeah, look, it's still exciting next kind of couple of months, and the next couple of years with the club.
Sean, great to have you back.
Cheers, boy. Thank you.
Yeah, great to have Shawnee back. Rory also caught up with City boss Tim Clancy.
Tim, your assessment of that?
It's been similar to a lot of games. They set up like, they make it difficult to play through them, and then they've got a lot of pace on the counter attack. It was similar against Treaty last week. I think we have to be braver in possession at the start of the games. We need to pass the ball a lot more. And we're in the wide areas. We have to deliver better balls into the box. A few times tonight again, we got into good areas and we're hitting the front man, or we're not connecting in the box. So a little bit frustrating in that regard. But again, listen, it's another clean sheet. And I think bar a brilliant free kick from the kid, we look pretty comfortably as well without overly testing their keeper as well.
Right, it was all about, I suppose, about Shawnee Maguire coming back and the reception he got tonight, which was just absolutely electric.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was Keith's first game back as well. Obviously, Shawnee was a massive, massive signing for us. You could feel the whole buzz about the place, and he's not played a lot of football, but even when he came on, you could see he uses his body well. And listen, it's going to be very exciting with himself and Keats and the team together. And listen, we've got a good week's training now, and with the ultimate test probably next week in the FAI Cup here against one of the best teams in the country.
Shawnee looked very sharp for a man who had no, I suppose, pre-season over in the UK.
Yeah, well, listen, he didn't get the success he had here and the level to play at over in the UK for the last 7 years without looking after his body. And he's 10-11 caps, whatever it is, for the Irish senior squad. That you don't get that level unless you're a very good professional. So you don't get to that level if you're not a good professional. And even though he hasn't been training, he's been looking after himself. He had a couple of weeks in with the PFA over in England. But listen, the more games and training sessions he has with us, the better he's going to look.
It's three great signings as well, with Sean Morley signing a multi-year deal. Dermot Rusher's really put his hand to his pocket and really bolstered the squad.
Yeah, and I think this shows the what the ambition of the club is. Muzz, as a loan sign, I've said it previously, he came in and he was absolutely fantastic, and to get him tied down long term and get Keats and Shawnee, who really wanted to come back to this club. Shawnee had made it quite obvious to us a long time ago that if he was coming back to this country, it would only be to Cork City. And Keats as well had a brilliant season here last year, and 18 months he had here, and sometimes moves just don't work, and it wasn't working for him up in Dublin at Pats. And to get him back as well, you can see he's got a smile on his face and a spring in his step again. And listen, I'm looking forward to getting the two of them on the pitch together.
Yeah, brilliant to have them both back into Camogie now. And earlier today I got up with Joe McCarthy to do a Camogie preview ahead of the big All-Ireland finals tomorrow. We're once again delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by our very own Joe McCarthy. Joe, Cork Camogie not in just one final but two finals tomorrow in the intermediate and senior, of course. How are the Rebelettes fixed for tomorrow?
It's looking quite good, Dan, in terms of the form book. Both Tony Daly's intermediate team and Germanley's senior teams are the slight favourites, or favourites going into each of the two of the three finals taking place at Croke Park tomorrow. So it's a good, it's an indictment of all the hard work that's been done both at senior and intermediate level and at junior level in Cork. It's not an easy thing to reach an All-Ireland final at either of those grades. This, from the intermediate side of the thing, is, I suppose, the interesting thing this year is it's the last year that counties who have second teams, the likes of Kilkenny and Cork, who are taking part in the final, who also have a senior team, from next year on, from 2025 on, the second teams will be taking part in their own competition, separate from the likes of Kerry now, who barely lost the semi-final to Kilkenny, who only have one, you know, Camogie inter-county team. Cork have two, an intermediate and senior, as do Kilkenny, as do Galway, as do Tip. But this is the last year of the current format, so from next year on, all the counties, the likes of Cork, Kilkenny and Tip at intermediate level, will compete in their own championship and compete in their own national league. So it is unique. But Donny Daly, who's a guy since I started working whatever number of years ago now, about 100 years ago for Red FM, he was heavily involved in the underage setup with Cork, not just at under 16 level, and it was back, I think it was 2019, he won an under 16 All-Ireland he was in charge of the Cork team, and I think it was the first time in about 15 to 16 years that they'd actually won that. So he's a very, very well respected coach. He's got a great backroom team. They're going up against Kilkenny's second team. They beat them already in the championship this year, but it's certainly, much like the senior, I wouldn't read too much into that. It's a big day at Croke Park. But I do think Tony and his management team have done a fantastic job. I do think Cork are the form team of the intermediate championship this year, and I do think they're going to win that one.
Very good. And then looking at senior wise, should we be worried? Are Galway coming in under the radar a bit too much here that we should be worried?
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. Number one, Cork, they didn't get to the National League final. When Dermot Manley took over, he said, I want to win an All-Ireland. That's what I'd be judged on. So he was very upfront about it from day one. They didn't get to the National League final this year, Cork, but they beat Wexford, Down, Clare, Dublin and Galway before getting to an All-Ireland semi-final in Nolan Park, which we cover for the Big Red Bench, and where they blew away Dublin for a second time. This is the form team of the country. Cork, whether they like it or not, they are favourites going into it, and rightly so. While it took a bit of time bedding in, you know, in the National League and, you know, finding kind of the right patterns that he wanted and getting the players into the positions that he needed, Germanly. But what he's done, remember, he did work under Matthew Toomey under the last couple of years, but what he has done himself, Liam Cronin and the backroom team, they haven't just built a strong 15, Dan. They've built a strong 20-25. Won four off the bench the last day in semi-final against Dublin, and that's going to be huge against Galway in the All-Ireland semi-final tomorrow. This is a team that's, you know, this is my all 4 years. This is the fourth year in a row Cork are in All-Ireland senior Camogie final, so it's not like they've been coming from nowhere. They are one of the best teams, if not the best panels in the country. I was there for Red FM the 2 years that Galway, under Cathal Murray, was manager against Mara, beat them by 3 points in 2021, agonisingly losing to Kilkenny in 2022 by a point. But last year, of course, 5-13-0-8, absolutely blowing away Waterford. Magnificent Amy O'Connor with 3-7 that day. What a day that was. And that was, you know, two consecutive All-Ireland final losses all those years of purple blown away. And now they're back again. They are the form team of the country. They are the strongest panel, I think, in the country. They are favourites going into this All-Ireland final, and they've already beaten Galway. So you'd be asking me, Dan, that's it, done and dusted? Absolutely not, because I've so much respect, like I know the Cork setup does, for Cathal Murray in charge of Galway. This Galway team is battle hardened. There are they've lost some players at the start of the year, but they've bounced back, and the way they out muscled and overcame Tipperary, an excellent Tipperary team in the semi-final then, in that second of the doubleheaders at Nolan Park. Anyone watching that day from the Cork setup will know that they're in for a battle tomorrow. Galway respect Cork, but they have absolutely zero fear of them, I can tell you that now. It'll be fascinating to see who marks who. I think the matchups are going to be key, but Cork, yes, favourites going into the senior final, and on merit and on form and in the way they've been averaging like 17, 18, 19 point wins, but that won't come for anything tomorrow against the Galway team if they get their matchups right, that are going to make this very, very difficult for Germany and his players.
What matchups do you think are the most interesting coming into this one?
Ooh, good question. I think the Cork, well, I suppose, look, all year I've been talking about the Cork halfback line. And the reason I've been talking about Hannah Looney, Laura Tracy and Laura Hayes is they're having all-star seasons. That half-back line of Cork has done fantastically well to protect a full-back line and goalkeeper and Amy Lee, the likes of Maeve Murphy, Izzy Regan and Pamela Mackey, who are also having fantastic seasons. But the loss to injury of Maeve Callahan, Grania Callahan and Libby Coppinger, like, they are three standout players who would normally be in that full-back line at some point of it. Now, Maeve is fit for tomorrow, unfortunately, Grania and Libby won't make it. But it says it's testament to Maeve Murphy, Izzy Regan, Pamela Mackey's skill levels and dedication that they've been able to shut down a lot of very, very talented full forward lines. And we've got one of the best goalkeepers in the country in Amy Lee. But it's that half-back line, Dan. Hannah Looney, Laura Tracy and Laura Hayes that have been the springboard for Cork all year. Everything good that comes from the Cork attacks comes from their delivery and their ability to snuff out the attack. So the question is, in the half-forward line, like Niamh Hanafy is usually midfield, or Niamh Kilkenny are named in midfield for Galway, will they go into the half-back line? Will one of those Galway players be a sweeper, and that's a dangerous thing to do, because if you take one of your midfielders or forwards out and make them a sweeper in an effort to shut down the Cork attack, which is perfectly reasonable, you leave the likes of Laura Tracy or Laura Hayes unmarked, and that's extremely dangerous, because their delivery into the forward line is the reason Amy O'Connor, Katrina Mackey and Orla Callahan run riot. And they are finishers, the three of them. They're fantastic. They're having fantastic seasons. Katrina Mackey, particularly, her experience helping set up Orla and Amy for scores, especially. But that's because the ball coming in from Hannah, from Laura, and the two Lauras is of the highest quality. And if Galway don't shut down that half back line for Cork, they will not win. So it'll be interesting to see, will they drop Niamh McPeak back? Will they move on Yakin up from centre back? What they'll do and what Colin Murray will do, it'll be very, very interesting in that section. The full back forward line as well, we have to talk about Niamh Mallon. Now, Niamh obviously transferred from the north to Galway, and she's been a revelation for them. Now, she was closely marked by Cork the last time they met, and that's because Pamela Mackey and herself had an absolute ding-dong battle on and off the ball in Parky Creeve. So I'm looking forward to that. I do think we'll see Pamela Mackey picking up Mallon, who is Galway's probably their most dangerous forward. Alwyn Rabbit as well on the half-forward line, another dangerous player. I expect to see Laura Hayes on her. That would be interesting. And midfield, finally, Dan, because I mentioned Niamh Hanavy and Niamh Kilkenny, outstanding camogie players for Galway all year, and Aoife Donoghue as well, Niamh McPeak, and Alwyn Rabbit. That middle five, they're going up against Saoirse McCarthy, who's having an all-star season, Fiona Keating, Cliona Healy, and the two powerhouses in midfield for Cork, Aisling Thompson and Aoife Healy. That middle five against Galway's middle five, Galway have to gain some sort of ground or foothold in that section of the pitch. If they don't, they're going to get beaten, and I think they know it. And how Galway and how Colin Murray and his management team get their matchups right to stop the Cork half back line, Hannah Looney, Laura Tracy, Laura Hayes, from doing what they've been doing all year, would be vital to give Galway any chance of winning it. And there the matchups stand, but the other thing is the benches. It's not that Galway's bench is weak by any means at all, but when Cork can call on the likes of Saoirse McCartan, Orla Mullins, Emma Murphy, Ciara Sullivan, Millie Condon, you know, Claude Finn, there's just so much talent on that sideline, and they've been coming on and making an impact in the last third and in the final third of matches, sorry, this year for Cork. There's a lot for Galway that they have to get right, Dan, whereas Cork, if they play to form and if they move up a gear, it's going to be very, very hard to stop them, no matter what the matchups.
Yeah, and I mean, are we going with the same team that you think that started the semi-final?
Yeah, they've both named unchanged teams. I suppose I would expect there to be more changes possibly on the Galway side of things, because Colin Murray, and remember, he oversaw that Galway team that beat Cork back in 2021 in All-Ireland final, so he knows, he certainly knows what he needs to do and how he needs to move them around. I would expect, I mentioned there the midfielders, Niamh Kilkenny Niamh Hanafy, and where they might be positioned. Roisin Black, the fullback as well, she's got to have a good game on Katrina Mackey. I would expect there to be more changes in the Galway lineup, but I think the 2-15s that have been named will definitely start, unless there's injuries that we don't know about. And I would expect, if she's fully fit, to see Maeve Cahalan come off the bench at some stage for Cork if they need to. But I would think that Kyle Murray probably has to tinker a little bit more than Germain Lee. The half forward line and the full forward line that I mentioned there, they do tend to swap positions here and there, but they stay in those positions. Further back, Aisling Thompson, Aoife Healy, both of them, I mean, we could have a whole podcast, a radio show on the two of them, the season they've had. They tend to hold down the middle, so there's not really going to be much change in the Cork lineup. Maybe in the full back line, getting their matchups right, putting Pamela Mackey definitely on Niamh Mallon, but then you've got to make sure that Izzy O'Regan and Maeve Murphy pick up Carrie Dolan and Eilish O'Reilly. So it's going to be fascinating, because there's a lot of things that we think are going to happen, but I think Colin Murray is probably going to have to do something new and something different to help get Galway over the line. But yeah, two unchanged teams, two very settled teams, but I would expect to see a few more positional changes on the Galway side of things.
I know we'll be hoping for it, but are we going to expect a big crowd there tomorrow? I mean, with two Cork teams in the finals as well.
Yeah, it's been
mad.
Yeah, there's three finals. I mean, you've Laois and Tipperary in the junior one. And Laois will definitely bring a big following, and I would expect Tipper always well supported when it comes to Camogie. Look, there was over 30,000 for the football final, which was viewed as disappointing. I remember the days when you couldn't get 10,000 to All Ireland football, ladies football final. So that just shows how far we've come.
That's just the Kerry fans, anyway.
Yeah. But I would hope, my concern, I suppose, Dan, is the throw-in time is so late. The All-Ireland senior final won't be until is it 4:15 or 5:30. There's a lot happening around the country tomorrow on the way up, and you know, when you've got most clubs will come, I think, from Cork and bring big numbers. It was absolutely brilliant to see Nolan Park in the semi-final, the two stands absolutely chock-a-block full, 18 busloads from Dublin, as many from Cork, and just as many then staying on to watch Galway and Tipperary, who are also very well supported. I would be hoping that they break the 30,000-35,000. The fact that there's two Cork teams means you're going to have a huge following from Cork, naturally, and in fairness, Galway are always well supported, but you know, we're a long way off filling the stadium, I think, but we're getting there in terms of Camogie and in terms of ladies football, but in terms of the overall one, I suppose the fact that they're late throw-ins might actually, I don't know, will that encourage more to go, or will it actually deter, you know, families with young kids as well? Like, it's a long day, as you well know, getting up to Dublin and getting home from it. But we'll see. I'd be hopeful, because Cork are involved in two finals, that we'd certainly break the 30,000-35,000 mark, hopefully.
Would you put the junior and intermediate finals on a separate day and have the senior on a standalone?
No, I think it's important that, I understand why the Camogie Association want to give those players the same treatment and the same, you know, they've been training just as hard as the intermediates and the seniors. It's a different grade, yes. But I think, I don't have a problem with the three games on the one day. I think it's unique, and it does add a lot of excitement. It certainly makes the day go faster above there when you're reporting. But I'm just interested to know as to why the late, maybe it's the Olympics, I don't know, maybe there's a reasoning behind it. I haven't actually got a definitive reason for the late throw-in for the senior final, but I do know if you're coming up with a lot of kids and you're up there at whatever 1 o'clock or even before it, and the main game doesn't start till, you know, after 5 o'clock, that's a long day, and a very long day, and I'm just wondering, will that deter people? Hopefully not, but when there's three finals, I think the three finals should be played in the same day, but I personally would start them much earlier.
Yeah, 5:30's a bit late getting back. Sure, you're probably, what, 7 o'clock at least before you're leaving the stadium? Then, well, I mean, what time is your last train? Yeah. And what time is the last train over Houston? Like, it's probably about 7:30 as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a long day, but like, for three finals in a row, look, there's obviously reasoning behind it with the Camogie Association, so I'm not second guessing them, but personally I would prefer to start them. But then if you start at 11, 12 o'clock in the day, like, you know, the junior final loses out, so I get it. They're trying to promote it as best they can, and look, we'll find out tomorrow certainly what kind of atmosphere and what kind of crowds we'll get there. But I do know that Cork will come in huge numbers, and rightly so, because these are two very, very talented teams.
Certainly so. Can we move on to a bit of club championship? I'm absolutely springing that on, you know. But is there anyone in this? We'll start with football here, obviously, being the West Cork men. The lay of the land coming into the Cork club championship here?
I suppose, look, the same three teams are going to be contested again this year. I don't see anybody springing from the pack. The same three teams in the Premier Senior Football, being the top three seeds, the reigning champions, Castlehaven, Nemo and the Bears, and they've all gotten off to, you know, winning starts, which I think is important. Castlehaven are in a group with two other West Cork clubs, Clonakilty and Carbery Rangers, for the third or fourth year in a row. And look, Castlehaven played very well to beat Clonakilty. Carbery Rangers did not play particularly well in the last third before losing to St. Michael's. And keep an eye on St. Michael's, actually, Dan, because they didn't have their full complement against Carbery Rangers. They may not have against Clon in the second outing or against Castlehaven, but they certainly will have a full strength team in the final group match. They could be an outlier. So I do see the football championship going to form the Premier Senior one, because, you know, just because of the depth of panel that the Bears, that Nemo and that Castlehaven have, they still have. They have more game changers to call off the bench than other teams in the grade. But that's not to say somebody could bolt from the group. I haven't seen anything to suggest to me that there's a team that could potentially do that just yet. But in terms of the football, yeah, definitely, I wouldn't be straying too far from those three teams, because they know how to win. They know how to win when it gets to the business end of it. But that's not to say they can be caught in a particular day, you know, come the knockout stages. But, you know, they're building momentum. Castlehaven just look pretty much the same as last year. Nemo, while it's not 100% impressive, the same with the Bears, they got the job done in the first round. You win your games, and each of those clubs as well, the players away and players off in J1s and won't be back for the second or third round, but they're still doing what they always do, and that's winning games and winning championship games. I would not see I'd be surprised if anyone outside that top three got the better of them, but we'll see. But there's always twists and turns, but I haven't seen enough yet from the first round of games to suggest in the Premier Senior Football that that's going to happen.
Yes, senior A or intermediate, is there anyone you think as a good chance of promotion?
Well, the thing with Senior A, and this is the thing, Newcestown, another West Cork team, won the double last year. And, you know, that's an incredibly difficult thing to do. They beat another West Cork club, and this sounds a bit not all West Cork, no, sorry, but they did beat another West Cork club, Donnie's, in that particular final of last year's final. And I think that with the Senior A, it's certainly the most competitive. I know the Premier Senior is probably the big one, but the Senior A is definitely the one that there's a lot more even teams, I think, in it. Like some Newmarket, Knockdegree as well, getting to the semi-finals last year. And there's nothing to suggest again this year that this year's championship, because it's so evenly matched, will be any different. Kilnamatra, you'd be imagining, should come out of it. O'Donovan Rasta from Skibbereen, Cantorque as well, the last year's. Cantorque had a great win over Donnie's last year's finalists, and in an absolute shootout earlier on in Macroom at the start of the year, or sorry, the start of the championship. And then you've got Knocknagree, who've been knocking on the door now for quite a while, and Bishopstone getting their act together as well, on and off the pitch in that particular club. I certainly, you know, they're the kind of teams already, you know, it's very, very early days, but I think even, you know, when you get to the knockout stages, it's a question of, like, anyone could potentially win it. And keep an eye on Carrigaline, because they transferred the Cork senior footballer Brian O'Driscoll into an already very, very good, young, determined setup. Now, they did put up a big score against Ballaghengarrig in their opening match. I think they won by 118-110. And I think in this particular grade, they've just come down from the Premier Senior and they're very, very anxious to get back up. It's not an easy thing to do. But the addition of Brian O'Driscoll to that team, I'm trying not to mention every team in the grade. No, if you're done, but I think, you know, the Kilnamatras, the Carrigalines, certainly the Kenturks, and definitely the Knocknagrees, I think we're going to see a winner from one of that group.
You don't think John Evans leaving Kilnamatra will have an impact on that group after the year they had last year?
No, they're a very self-driven group. He obviously is a huge loss in terms of, you know, motivation, in terms of organisation on the sideline. But, you know, there's a big backroom team there as well. And they certainly didn't show that they've missed with respect to him. They racked up 118 as well and beaten Kishkame in the first game of the championship this year. They looked, you know, in the Comortis, the great competition as well, had a look at them in that. They certainly didn't look like they had lost a step. But they would need, I think, when they get to the business end, they're probably going to need a bit more, you know, from the tactical side of things, and just, you know, getting over when you get to the business end, you could end up meeting a Carrigaline, you could end up meeting an O'Donovan Ross or a Knocknagree, or even a Clyde, who might force their way into it yet. And you need to win those tight games. I think Kilnamatra are kind of a momentum team. When things are going well, they can kick 118. When things aren't going well, when it's a tight game, sometimes it doesn't go their way. But I certainly think that even without him, I certainly think they're still very, very much in the title picture.
Have you been paying any attention to the hurling? I know they're only week one in now at the moment there as well.
Not particularly, no, to be quite honest, because between everything in the football and in... No, but I think, do you know what, the big thing, I suppose, this year was... Dan, I suppose with Cork doing so well in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship, like, that there were so many players involved in that, that a lot, the attendances, I read something recently, the attendances are certainly up in the club game, and that's very, very important. I think from a Cork hurling point of view, that, you know, the momentum that the hurlers took from the All-Ireland final into it is certainly important. I mean, Sars and Newcestone, or sorry, Newcestone, Newtown Shandrum got off to big, good starts as well. I think Sars put up 131 and beaten Douglas. Not an easy thing to do. And the usual suspects are still in around it. Like Newcestone, as I mentioned as well, they won the Senior A hurling and football last year. So, you know, to lose out by a point to Father O'Neill's in that opening game, that was absolute, that could be a crucial result just yet. And they've got the Bars and they've got Blackrock in a very, very difficult group. And then you've got the likes of Middleton, who a lot of people are looking at this year, like an absolute shootout with Charleville, and yet they put up 227. So it's very, very hard to call. Sars probably, with their experience from last year, definitely need to keep an eye on those. And the Rockies obviously will be looking to get to the business end of it. And Father O'Neill is getting over Newcestone, takes the pressure off their next game. So wide open in the Premier Senior, certainly. But I think the likes of Middleton, the likes of Sars, and possibly the likes of the Rockies, I think one of those three, I think, just, but again, you go back, it's very similar to the Premier Senior football. The depth in talent, and certainly with the intercounty players that they have at their disposal, you would be expecting one of those three to come out on top.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed a huge interest myself, or from other people, like, just in the club championship now, off the back of the hurler success, people are going to the matches now. Do you want to watch the likes of the Bears lads and the Rockies lads, you know, which is great for the club game as well. And what a cracker they got to see there. But God help whoever's coming up against Glen Rovers this year with Patrick Corrigan and the two Tonys in the team now.
Yeah, that's, I mean, there's, before you even asked me, there's my favourite for that particular grade. But not an easy thing to do, but certainly they have the quality and they have the depth that could go and do it. But yeah, look, as we said, it's great that the disappointment of losing out in the All-Ireland final, obviously a lot of the fact that we've got club championships straight away, I think has helped a little bit of ease the pain a little bit and help us get through the winter, and to see so many of those great players that you mentioned there playing for their clubs as well, for the younger kids to get out and see them, it definitely bodes well for the remainder of the football and for the hurling championships.
John McCarthy, I'll ask you the one last question here now. A prediction tomorrow, we'll go intermediate and then on to senior.
I'm predicting two Cork wins. I don't think it's going to be as straightforward as some pundits have been suggesting. Kilkenny, any Kilkenny Camogie team is a difficult team to beat, but I just think Tony Daly had such a fantastic year, has settled on his team, winning a National Division 2B league title helped him, and he's got the likes of Lauren Holman in there and some really experienced players. I think Cork are going to win that one, and I certainly think Ger Manley, and if Cork move up a gear, nobody can live with them, even Galway, but I think that's going to be much tighter final. There's only going to be 1 or 2 points in it, but I just think Cork are on a mission this year. You hear the players' comments during the week, like Laura Tracy, Hannah Looney, saying they don't want to win 1 or 2 All-Irelands, they want to win 3, 4, 5. There's a lot of confidence in the camp, a lot of momentum, and I think the two Cork teams will be coming back to Leaside with both of those trophies.
Hopefully it happens. John McCarthy, thanks so much for speaking to us on the Big Red Bench.
Cheers, Dan.
Right, that concludes the first half here on the Big Red Bench. Come back to us in the second half, where we will be continuing on our Camogie All-Ireland preview.
The Big Red Bench
with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship.
Cork's Good Times, Red FM.
The Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. Now, this time tomorrow, Cork will hopefully be on their way to retaining their All-Ireland Camogie Senior Championship crown. They're able to take on Galway in the decider in Croke Park. Ger Manley, the Cork boss, has been speaking to our reporter, Grace Murphy.
Perfect. So, you might just start off by telling me what it means for you to be in an All-Ireland final.
It was our aim, start of the year. We met there, I suppose, 13th of January. We had our first meeting, and our goal is to get back to the final. And the girls were beaten in two finals before that. I was involved with David there before we were beaten, and then we won last year, so that's the goal. Like, I mean, the quality is there, and that was our aim. And I suppose we took the league serious enough, but we didn't take it, because we didn't train that hard really for 2021 night a week. And then we said we'd hit it hard in from April, and we did, and we must have final. We said we set up to win that because we knew Clare, after losing the other players, we'd them at home, and then we'd go out from the final. And it's after improving since then. They're so focused, the girls, they just push it on themselves. And I think we've improved considerably from the start of the year.
Yeah,
what you would expect it, like, because I always said the dry ball for the Cork hurlers or the Cork Camogie players, they love the fast ball, and we have improved.
And tell me, coming off the back of the success of last year, was there anything you were particularly looking to improve?
Standards.
Always going up.
And Liam Cronin is an exceptionally good coach, and that's the thing she said to him. Standards, we think we made the squad more competitive. A lot of people mean things, but I suppose we tried to make it more competitive with somebody that can come in every position, and I think we've achieved in some areas. And that's Liam pushing standards, and the girls push themselves. They're exceptionally bunched now, they're very focused, and their aim is to get there, it's grand, but it's what we need now.
And tell me what it means to have a team, the intermediate team and the senior team in an All-Ireland final.
Oh, that's brilliant. We saw them show for them this year. Like, we had a lot of our players, I suppose, we had on the squad early on, they were dropped down to intermediate squad. They've done exceptionally good. I thought they were very good to last. It's about winning semi-finals, as I said to them. So, like, I mean, it's great to have a crowd, really huge crowd in Nolan Park, and a lot of the crowd went to Thurles.
Yeah.
Which is a good. Kept the Cork County Board, I suppose, they had some deal done with the Camogie Board, because normally they wouldn't do that for the GAA, you know what I mean? And I thought it was exceptional. And I was talking to a few to Fenta there, the coach, and he said it made a huge difference to a crowd there. And it does, I didn't realise how big a crowd until we normally sit in the stand, myself and Jennifer and Fiona. And it's the crowd that was there, and it's great, and hopefully we get it again next year.
Yeah, and tell me about the atmosphere around here today. Does it mean a lot to you?
It's great, Look, I mean, it's short, I suppose. We're trying to get it over, I suppose, and that we will get it over quickly. It's important to meet everybody, but I suppose we have to focus on our game, and that's to win the finals in the week. So the county board arranged it fairly fast now after Sunday, and we trained before it, and that's great. You see it, the Camogie's going up and up in Cork. Like, the minor team are a bit unlucky this year, like the general 16s were beaten as well, but they're serious talent there, and I suppose, and same with ourselves, like, I mean, you've a lot of girls that have been playing their 6 or 7 final, probably more. And it is there, and I think they're pushing it on. I think yourselves, the media pushed as well, which helps everybody, and the focus, I suppose, to improve the standards, and I think that's what we did this year.
And tell me a bit about your preparation this week ahead of the final.
We trained, I suppose, we did a gym session, I suppose, last night, so we'll train over Tuesday and Thursday before the final, and I think that's it. Then we'll have a meeting probably during the week, give me a prep and then drive on, then actually a lot of work is done. Like, we trained exceptionally hard there for the semi-final against Dublin, and we'll train hard now this week again, and then step back a small bit for the week before, just give me a bit of freshness.
And is there anything you're particularly worried about against Galway?
Sure, look, Galway are exceptionally good, there's 9 between us, like, man, we're with the lead there, we beat them. Well, that happens, we got to run them, do you know what I mean? There was 3 points each after 20 minutes down the park, and like, they were short 4 or 5 of their team. I suppose we had a strong team out, and so did they as well, like, but it's just your squad. We took over there just before half time and we got another goal early in the second half. They beat us in the league, about 30 between us, I suppose. We did beat them last year in the semi final, which was the first time in 7 matches. And I don't, they're very good players, Galway. They've been in between us. Once we come on the right side, just the main thing.
And tell me, what do you think it will mean for Cork as a county if you do win on Sunday, and for Camogie as a whole?
Well, generally, people want to win. People want to win finals. Cork are the most supported. Like, same to hurling. Like, they were devastated after hurling. Like, we'll be devastated if we won't win the Camogie. And I think Cork people just love sport. Like, as I said, they'd follow anything. They watch every sport, but especially hurling and Camogie. I think football then, I think, comes. You know, I think it's just the way it is. We're a hurling county in Camogie County, and I think to win would be great. I think it's great for the players, especially, but for the young kids here, you see them all. Like, and I couldn't believe the crowd in Nolan Park. I really couldn't, because I've been there now 3 years, and it's the biggest crowd I've seen. And I think to be great for the county to win something, you need to win senior level. And I suppose the Camogie have a chance every year. They're very consistent, you know. And I suppose it's not that we're guaranteed to get to a semi final or a quarter final, but you have the talent. So if we prepare right, but it's gone very professional, you know. And I suppose
it's great to see it.
Yeah, Matthew Toomey gave me his credit now the last 2 years previously, and I think we've tried to continue and improve the standards this year.
Perfect. Thank all you right, so Gerlaine. Much,
Sarah. Thank you. Grace also caught up with Hannah Looney.
Well, first off, will you tell me what it means to be into an All-Ireland final?
Look, it's the biggest privilege and probably the biggest honour of my life to be playing Camogie with Cork, and, you know, to be preparing for an All-Ireland final again. And, you know, it's hard to believe in many ways, and, you know, I just love it. I just, such an honour to play football with Cork and to play Camogie with Cork, and I just can't wait now for Sunday week.
Yep, and it's obviously not even your first All-Ireland, so it's just a great career. How do you keep motivating yourself to go out training every single week?
Yeah, I suppose I think, you know, every year is different, and there's different setups, different managements, different players, and, you know, I always ask the question, am I enjoying it, and if I am, you know, keep going. And to be involved in a group like Cork Camogie at the moment is really, really special, and I mean that because, you know, there's a group of 30 players that have come really, really close over the last couple of seasons. You know, we've been through the highs and the lows of it, and there's also a really, really special management team behind us. You know, we've everything that we want, which isn't the same for many setups between analysis, sports psychology, food, physio, and even just a bit of crack. You know, it's all there. So I think, and that means the world to everyone. I think, you know, players are going out to fight for themselves and to fight for the management, fight for their families. You know, and it would just be a huge, huge honour if we could bring another All-Ireland back to Cork.
And as you said, there's a great bond amongst the team this year. Is there anything you did in particular to make that bond stronger?
I wouldn't say there's anything in particular. I suppose, as I said, we're in a good position where we've been around for that couple of years. You know, we're lucky, we're fortunate that we did a good bit of fundraising at the end of the season last year between the Knights of the Dogs and things like that. So that put a lot of money into the players' fund, and that did give us the opportunity to go on a training weekend or two during the year. And, you know, it is hard because we are all we're all amateur athletes. We all have to go to work or go to college and stuff like that. So, you know, to have a little training weekend, you kind of get a bit more time to spend with each other. So that's really, really important. And, you know, I think, you know, players, you know, we don't need management to drive things between the players. We're all looking out for it, well, what we do need to do to get to know each other, to get better. So, you know, there's just a great bond, and, you know, there's a great high standard in the setup.
And what does it mean for all the supporters coming out to you today?
It was really, really special, to be honest, because I think I missed this last year. I would have been training football, I think, at the time it was last year. And, you know, it's just a huge, huge crowd, and it really, really means a lot. And I suppose I would just do a call out to the Cork supporters. You know, we see what they did for the hurlers and the sport. support they got behind. If we could even get a fraction of that, it would really, really drive us on Sunday week. So, you know, we're really, really grateful, and we just hope we can inspire the next generation of Camogie players in Cork, and we can bring more success back to the Rebel County.
Yeah, and they're saying that Cork Camogie is one of the fastest growing sports for the ladies. Do you think there's any particular reason behind that?
Oh, that's brilliant to hear that. I suppose, you know, like, for me, like, I think there's GAA clubs in every community around the country, as we all know. And, you know, when I look back at myself, I was just thrown into the sport at 4 or 5. And, you know, that's probably a lot of the cases for many kids around the country. But I suppose, you know, the GAA and the Camogie are making good efforts to reach out to other families that mightn't be directly involved in the GAA. And I think, you know, hopefully kids are looking up to us and seeing our success and kind of seeing that they could be us maybe one day. You know, I've heard a lot of girls here today wishing that, looking for Amy O'Connor and trying to score hat-tricks and stuff like that. So, you know, if we can inspire more girls to play in sport, it's so, so important, because, you know, I just look back at maybe people I grew up with and that were involved in sport, and, you know, how the life skills that they've learned have really excelled them in their personal lives and their professional lives. And then you look at people who might have dropped out of sport at 13 or 14 and, you know, they'd always regret it nearly. So, you know, whatever about Camogie or sport, I just encourage young people to just stay involved, because the friendships, the life skills that you learn are so, so important. And, you know, it's hard to build that in other things like that. So, you know.
And is there any advice you'd give in terms of building your Camogie skills to any of the younger girls here?
Yeah, and I suppose I think you just need to pick up the hurley every day, 10-15 minutes. You know, it's interesting now, like, when I was 11, 12, 13, I used to get my mum to drop me to the pitch after school every day to do some pucking, to do some football, you know, and you'd be down the pitch with it and no one else to be around. And, you know, you'd spot the odd girls who were like me back in the day, who were down in the pitch that bit more. So, I think it's important to just keep going at it. You know, you might go through tough times and stuff like that, but if it's something you're passionate about, keep going at it. Because even if you listen to Mona McSherry last night, I thought it was phenomenal to see her get the bronze medal for Ireland. She looks back at her swimming career and said that she, you know, she fell out of love with it and had to take a break, but, you know, knew it was for her and kept going, and look at the success she got then out of it. So, you know, there's highs and lows, but you got to keep going at it, especially when it gets tough, and that's what can make the difference.
Exactly, Anna. Thank you so much.
And here's Clodagh Finn.
Right, I'm here with Clodagh, who is getting ready for her All-Ireland final at the weekend. So Clodagh, first off, what does it mean to be playing in an All-Ireland final this weekend?
It's absolutely unbelievable. Like, this is what every kid dreams of, and, you know, when it comes true, like, when you're growing up, it's absolutely unbelievable. And we were there last year and it was just the best experience. And, like, to be in it this year again is such an honour, and it's great for Cork and it's great for Camogie.
And tell me, was there still the same drive this year when you'd already gotten on so well last year?
Definitely, 100%. We knew what we were capable of, and we just kept pushing, and, you know, we kept to the same standards, and just kept driving each other on. And the competition is unbelievable, the training, so it's just like everyone was pushing for it, and everyone has the same goal at the end of the day, and we're just absolutely delighted to be there again now.
And tell me a bit about your own background. Obviously, you said it's a dream to be playing an All-Ireland final.
Mm-hmm. I play with Father O'Neill's, and I come from such a small club, and just to be representing them on Sunday week is just absolutely amazing. And look, as I said, like, it's every kid's dream, and looking at the kids around us now, like, and, you know, inspiring them to keep driving on and achieving their goals is absolutely amazing. And it's an honour, and you can't take any bit for granted.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a bit about the event today. Is it just huge to see all the kids coming out to support you?
Oh, it's massive, and it's actually just amazing to see. And we want to inspire the younger generation as much as we want to inspire inspire each other. So like, it's absolutely great seeing like the support from the Cork fans last week in Olin Park was unbelievable, and we were absolutely thrilled with it. And look, if we get the same again for the final, it's going to be absolutely amazing. And yeah, it's unbelievable.
And tell me, at the start of the year in January, did you expect to be back here, or what was the general mindset going into this season?
Definitely, yeah. We all had the same goal, to be back here, and you know, we stuck to our goals, and we stuck to the process goals of like trying to get to the final. And it was a step by step process. You know, getting to the final, it wasn't easy, and it's never easy. And the competition, like in the groups, is unbelievable, and we just kept pushing and kept pushing each other, and to reach here again is class. Yeah.
And how was your journey as a team this year? How did you manage to bond so well and have such a good team chemistry about you?
I think we just all get along so well, and we all love Camogie, and we all love being around each other. And look, it's a sunny day today, and like what more could you be doing than out here and just playing what you do? And like, we all just kind of bounce off each other, and we all have the same goal at the end of the day, so we just click. And like, we did a couple of bonding sessions throughout the year, and you know, it really really brought us more together as a team. And like, hearing, you know, from each other is so inspiring. And like, we all kind of, we grow off each other and we bounce off each other, so it's, yeah, we just have a really really strong bond, and it's great.
Perfect. And is there anything that you went out this year to try and really improve coming off the back of last year?
I think just keep pushing each other. And you know, the competition on the team is just immense. Like, it's, nobody is safe. And Liam and Jura keep highlighting that you know, we have a massive panel, and it's just like, the competition is unbelievable. And we just kept wanting to improve and improve and just keep going forward.
Mm-hmm. And how is the atmosphere this week? Are you nervous? Are you feeling like you are going to win it out?
We're keeping a low profile, and we're keeping you know, our heads
Yeah, exactly.
But no, we're just excited, and we can't wait for Sunday week. You know, it's been a long year, and it's been a long tough year. You know, we've trained hard, and we've, you know, it's like, there's so many sacrifices that you have to commit to throughout the year, you know, to get to this point. And I think the fact that we're here now, we just can't wait for Sunday, and we're going to make the most out of the 2 weeks that we have.
Perfect. And lastly, is there any advice you'd give to any of the kids going around here now today?
I think just keep believing in yourself, and you know, as like, this may seem cliche, but practice makes perfect, and just keep doing what you love and keep practicing it, and you can only get better, you know, if you keep going and if you believe in yourself. I think that's the main thing. Confidence and belief at the end of the day will get you anywhere. And I think it's just brilliant to see all these kids, and we're really looking forward to it.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you so much, Joel.
Great stuff there, and best of luck. David Fitzgerald, of course, is a former Cork coach, having worked under Matthew Toomey when the Rebels got the All-Ireland final in 22, where they were narrowly beaten by Kilkenny. And Rory has been chatting to Davey about tomorrow's game.
Well, I have you aside. You were formerly involved with the Cork Camogie team back in All-Ireland final action this weekend. You must be absolutely delighted for the girls.
No, I genuinely, they are a fantastic bunch of girls. So they are, and they're very determined. Their work rate, the way they apply themselves, I couldn't speak highly enough about them. Now, some of them have been giving out about me, and we may be playing a plus one and are doing this and doing that, and I enjoyed it immensely. The application of them is incredible, and even when you look at them, like, they give so much. And when I looked at the fellas, and I think it's like, I think more should be given to the girls, and I genuinely mean that. But they're an incredible, that Cork bunch are an incredible bunch. And in fairness, Tom, you'd often have bunches that would be given out about you. I never came across that. I always found them very genuine and very nice. And I think that's very important with a bunch of players, that they're not going at you behind your back, or they're not like that. The Cork Camogie players are a great bunch, and I genuinely wish them the best to you. Like, I'll always cherish the number of months I had with them, and how well they worked. Like, we came within a puck of winning All-Ireland, you know. But you often have to lose one or two of them to get the few you need to get you on. Fair play to them.
Well, they all spoke very highly of you anyway when we spoke to them, so that has to count for something.
Ah, no, listen, you're not going to keep all of them happy no matter what the story is, and especially sometimes with the system I play, they won't always agree with you no matter what the story is, and I actually accept that way more now than I used to. But all I can say is when I was working with Cork Camogie, I actually laughed and I had fun, worked very hard on them. We got within one puck of winning All-Ireland, won a Munster Championship with them. I enjoyed it, and that's all I can say about that. I really did. Exceptional girls and that, and you'd often, when you leave a place, you'd hear people speaking bad of you. Like, and in fairness, I haven't come across that. And normally when you've 36 to 40 of a panel, you're not going to keep them all happy either, you know. But I genuinely hope to do it. They're a great bunch. They're a great bunch.
Now the intermediates are, of course, also in action tomorrow when they play Kilkenny. We hear now from Donny Daly.
Just tell me what it means for the intermediates to be into an All-Ireland final.
It's brilliant. Look, it's these are the days that girls train for. You know, you want to be in Croke Park on the 11th of August on the All-Ireland final day. It means everything to those girls. Like, they've put in, you know, the hard training sessions in the winter, cold and rain, and then, you know, they give up so much to give up, you know, social life. All to be in Croke Park on the 11th of August. So yeah, it's brilliant, and it means everything to them.
And was it your intention in January when you set out to be in the All-Ireland final? Was that always the goal?
That's always the goal. Like, yeah. Like you set out with a target and you try and hit it. We came in late. We kind of came in the middle of January. The plan would have been to get to the All-Ireland final. We won the league, which was a bonus. We played every girl, got a run. With a different team going out every week, so that kind of set us up nicely then for championship. We were able to, I suppose, we knew what girls we had and what their capabilities were. So we took each round of the championship as it came. We dug out some very, very good results, tough results against the first teams, against Westmeath and the Offaly's. And you know, each week we got better, and now we're in an All-Ireland final, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and you had a good win over Offaly. Is that making you more confident going ahead of the match?
Yeah, look, Offaly is a very, very good team. They were senior last year. We had beaten them here in the early stage of the championship by a point, so we knew they were going to be very tough. We had our homework done on Offaly, so when it came to the day, we were confident, but again, look, anything can happen in the semi-final. And semi-finals are about winning. You know, in the end it was 6 points, but it wasn't a 6 points game. The girls dug out, our defenders, you know, played unbelievably well. It has set us up nicely because, look, you have to be winning tough games. In the semi-final, you know, you don't want an easy game in the semi-final. So, you know, we're ready for Kilkenny.
And tell me about your preparation this week ahead of the match.
Look, we train now tonight. Very easy session. There's a few knocks, there's a few aches and pains after the weekend, so we didn't do anything hectic. Thursday, no, we'll be back here, hopefully, and we'll do, you know, a reasonably good session. We're in Coachford Saturday morning. And normally what we do on a Saturday, we have an in-house game, we do a warm up and an in-house game, and that's where the girls, I suppose, pit themselves against each other, and it's from there then we pick teams.
Yep.
So as we keep saying, like, you know, if you can mark a Lauren Holman or a Cian O'Callaghan or a Niamh O'Leary in training, then you're more than capable of doing it come championship.
Exactly. And as you said, you did your homework done on Offaly. Is it the same story for Kilkenny then?
Yeah, look, we'll watch the video of them against Kerry at the weekend. We'll watch that, but look, I suppose we'll pick out their strengths, we'll pick out their weaknesses, but we'll be really focused on our own game, really. And that's what we've done in every game. We know what we're capable of, and if we play to the standards that the girls have set themselves, then there's very few teams will beat them.
Yep, and as we know, it's a huge achievement for the intermediates and the seniors to get into an All-Ireland final. What would it mean to win three on Sunday?
To be unbelievable, to be brilliant. Look, they won it in 2018. I think Cork have only won four intermediate All-Irelands in the history of the competition. So for these girls and for the likes of, you know, Emma Flanagan, Maeve Ring, Olivia McAllen, you know, some of the girls that have been there a while, that have been in Cork teams a while, and they don't have an All-Ireland medal. It'll be huge for them. And look, to win an All-Ireland medal, you know, junior, intermediate, senior, it's a goal for every young girl playing Camogie. And you see them all here now this evening, all the kids. They'll aspire to be like their heroes that are here, the Amy O'Connors, the Ashley Thompsons, the Niamh O'Leary's, the, you know, the Emma Flanagan's. So, you know, look, winning in Ireland is what it's all about.
Brilliant stuff there, and best luck to both Cork Camogie teams heading to Croke Park tomorrow, and anyone heading up their safe travels as well. And that's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off, but do not go anywhere, as Marty Guilfoyle is in the mix next.